you grab your Bible, if you brought a Bible with you this morning, to Luke 24 we will be going. Luke chapter 24. Normally I go through the New King James scriptures. I'm going to be using a different translation this morning, and they'll be up on the overheads. But I really want you to see and let the scripture come alive. The resurrection, His resurrection, changes everything. There was a little silver-haired lady. She called up her neighbor and she said, "Please, come on over here and help me. I've got a killer jigsaw puzzle, just an incredible jigsaw puzzle, but I can't figure out how to get it started." Her neighbor says, "Well, what's it supposed to be when it's finished?" Little lady says, "According to the picture on the box, it's a rooster." Neighbor decides to go on over and help with the jigsaw puzzle. Anybody in this room ever do jigsaw puzzles? Oh, good. You're a lot more patient than I am. Decided, give me one with 25 pieces. I might be able to get that done and going. Neighbor decides to go over and help with the puzzle. And she lets him in and shows him where he has the puzzle spread all over. She has the puzzle spread all over the table. It's all over. Looks over the pieces for a minute. Looks at the box. Looks at the pieces again. Then he turns to her and he says, very sweetly, "First of all, no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to assemble these pieces into anything resembling a rooster." And he takes her hand and he says, "Secondly, I just want you to relax. Have a nice cup of tea." And then he said with a deep sigh, "Let's put all the cornflakes back into the box." Have you ever noticed in life that sometimes things just aren't always as we expect? Sometimes the Lord doesn't always do what we expect. Put yourself in the feet of the disciples and the sandals of the disciples this morning. How would you feel? You spent 3.5 years walking with the one that you put your trust in and your hope in and your dreams for the future, and you thought he was the answer to all the prayers you'd ever prayed. Remember, between the Old Testament and New, there were 400 years of silence and what is called the intertestamental times. And there was no voice, no prophecy, no prophetic word speaking the word of the Lord. Then all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene, and he's completely new. He's different than everybody else. And you walked with him for the last 3.5 years. And how many remember your scripture? He just didn't do everything like the disciples always expected. But you figured out who he was, disciple. You decided. You'd made up your mind. You knew it. He was indeed the Son of the living God, just like Peter declared. And so you are a believer. But 3 days ago, he was battered and tortured and crucified and dead. And all your friends ran away. Peter, too. And I guess that includes you, too. We all denied him. And he faced it alone. Now you're full of shame and condemnation. Did you ever, present day, ever mess up really badly? You don't have to tell me what it is. Okay, go ahead. No, I'm kidding. No, go. Ever have shame because of the mess ups? Sometimes inside there's condemnation and shame. And did you ever lose hope, or like the video say, lose heart, or put your dreams on a shelf, but have times where you just don't know where life's heading? Seems dark, quiet. But God's got a new plan. Because this unfolded with Jesus 3 days ago, God's got a new plan, and it's called resurrection. And His resurrection changes everything. Come on, say that with me. His resurrection changes everything. For those of you who might be disqualifying yourself, what does that mean? I'm never good enough. I sin and I keep on sinning, and it's maybe a secret attitude, or I do something I know is wrong, and I'm going to kick it, and I just can't kick it. And so I deserve to die. I deserve my punishment. And I'm like the person, like the woman caught in adultery, remember? And they throw her down in front of Jesus. Jesus, but he just didn't do what was expected. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't throw the stone. He said, I came to be your deliverance. I came to take that sin. Yes, you sinned, but I know how to forgive you this morning. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, Jesus knows you right to the inner core, how to forgive you, how to strengthen you, how to help you, how to deliver you. Can someone say thank God? You know what? In our own lives, you could say this to each other. I don't make a very good Savior. Say that to each other. I don't make a very good Savior. Yeah, I heard an edited comment. I'm a lousy Savior. That's right. But thank God he's not. He knows what he's doing. The Bible says to us, church, just the reality that we have to face. The Bible says that every person has sinned. And the Bible tells us that sin brings death. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no removal, no taking away of sin. And punishment has to come for sin. And church, it includes everybody. No matter how nice you are this morning, if you're looking at me and you say, not me, I'm goody two-shoes. That's okay. Then pride's a problem. Repent from it. We all have issues. All God's kids got issues, don't you know, right? Can you say that this morning? All God's kids got issues. We all need a Savior. Thank God. The good news is, Jesus went to the cross and he said, I know you, and I died for you. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And God said, it is enough. It's done. His resurrection changes everything. I'm going to be using the Message version this morning to look at some scriptures. Luke 24, verses 1 through 3. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb. So they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. Now you gotta get this, let this live. These ladies are going through the streets. They're carrying spices. They're gonna worship him. They're gonna further, take care of the body of Jesus. They didn't go to the tomb expecting to see a living Jesus. They expected to minister to and worship someone who had been alive, but was now dead. But get a load of what they're doing. He died a crucifixion, and in those days, there was a very short-lived time in history where that was the chosen form of punishment. And it was reserved by the Romans for the worst of the worst. They're walking through the streets of town to go minister to the body of Jesus, and they will be known as the associates of the worst kind of criminal. And they didn't care. They didn't care. They just wanted to see Jesus. But they didn't expect him to be alive. You ever notice, it's kind of funny, some people get real embarrassed about other people seeing you go to church. And some neighbors, they just don't understand. You're going to go where? You're going to go to church? Because in their minds, church is where you go worship someone who used to live, who's dead. Now, by the way, those same people will drive miles and spend hours to go see the Hawks or go see the Mariners. And they'll spend lots of bucks getting their hot dog and their bobbleheads, or I should say bobbleheads, not bubbleheads. But they'll spend lots of money doing it, right? But that's not crazy. That's being a fan, which is short for... You know the definition of a fanatic. We won't spend too long on this. Definition of a fanatic. You know that definition, don't you? Somebody who loves Jesus more than you do. And everybody else, they're just a bunch of fanatics. You know, but you can go to a sports game. And how many have enjoyed the March Madness, watching some of the games? I enjoyed about two-thirds of the Zags last game, right? I really did, man. And you can enjoy, you can shout, you can lose your voice doing that. But somebody saying yee-haw or a loud amen in church, that's weird. But his resurrection changes everything. Their passion took him to the tomb to worship him. But let me ask you this morning, when you come to the tomb, what do you find? Number one, an empty tomb. an empty tomb and a living Jesus. Say that with me. An empty tomb and a living Jesus. This event so scared the soldiers that were supposed to be guarding that tomb. Those who paid the soldiers, paid them to go out and tell everybody else that Jesus' disciples came and stole the body away. And that's the rumor that still exists today. Right? You know how rumors go. It doesn't matter if it's true, you just believe them, right? It doesn't matter if it's true. But what does the Bible say? Verses 4 through 9 of the Message. They were puzzled. These ladies came in and looked around. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck. They bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery?" I love that. Why would you go to a cemetery to find the one who's alive? He's not here. He's raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up. Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all of this to the 11 and to the rest. Why look for the living in a cemetery? You wouldn't. You wouldn't expect to see a living Jesus. Why go to church? We want to come see a living Jesus, don't we? The great thing is, Jesus loves to take us by surprise. He does something a little more than you think he's going to. Or maybe there's a verse or something, a point and a message that speaks to your heart a little bit more than some other points. And maybe you don't even want to look around and let anybody else know. Right? I see none of you are looking around right now. Okay. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to know the good news is, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took your sins and mine. He looked out and he said, "Father, forgive them." And through all the history, he looked at your face and mine. And he said, "I love you this much to do all of this." And now he's alive. He's here for you. And Jesus is here to touch you right where you are right now, here today. Number two, say it with me, but Peter. Say it again. But Peter, verses 10 through 12, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles, say it with me please, didn't believe a word of it. Are they at all like us? They just don't believe this. It's crazy stuff. They thought, the scripture says, they were making it all up. But Peter, say it with me, but Peter jumped up to his feet, ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in. He saw a few graves closed. That's all. He walked away, puzzled, shaking his head. What happened at the empty tomb? What did they find? They come and tell his story, and the apostles don't believe it, but I absolutely appreciate Peter. I've felt like Peter so much in my life and all the mistakes that he seemed to make. And I feel like I do the same. But Peter's the guy who declared Jesus the Lord. But Peter's the guy who told Jesus he wasn't going to die. But Peter's the guy who saw Jesus walking on the water and was terrified. But Peter's the one who said, "Let me come out to you if it's you," and got out of the boat and walked on the water. But Peter said he'd never deny the Lord. But Peter, and this is what's cool, but Peter still had to go find his friend that he had denied. But Peter, though he messed up so badly, still had to go find Jesus that he loved. You know something else in here, by the way? But Peter went away. The Bible tells us he wept bitter tears after he realized that he had denied the Lord. And lots of times when we enter into sin, we separate ourselves from church, from people, from those who love us and help us walk in the Lord. We separate ourselves. Guess what? Guess who was with all the other disciples? Peter. And he hears the story. He says, "I love this guy. I may have denied him, but I got to go find out what's happened to Jesus." If you've sinned, you have a faithful Lord who loves you and will forgive you your sins. If you confess your sins, 1 John 1:7-8, if you'll confess your sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't separate yourselves. Don't run away. Hang in there and see that Jesus loves you. Say it with me, the resurrection changes everything. Jesus had told them He'd come back to life. The ladies told the disciples He was alive. You ladies sometimes get it quicker than we guys. Ladies, you ever notice that? How come the guys in the room aren't smiling? I see elbows flying around here. I say, yeah, bam, I told you I got it sooner than you did. The disciples still don't get it. And sometimes Jesus tells us over and over again that He's got good news. And He looks at you and He says, I love you. I forgive you. I don't hold shame on you. I took it for you. I have hope for you. I have good news for you. I have new beginnings for you. But we walk around ashamed and condemned and confused and downcast and say, there's no hope for me. And Peter, he went to look for Jesus. And that's what we get to do together. For the tired and the broken, the video said. For the hungry and thirsty, for the lost and found. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. Peter got up and he said, I got to go see for myself. I got to go check out this report. Mark 16, Jesus says, go tell my disciples and Peter. And there's forgiveness and hope and restoration in these words. Can you be honest enough with me in this place this morning to say you know you need hope and restoration and forgiveness from the Lord too? We're all, what does the old phrase say? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're all in this together, church. His resurrection changes everything. Fresh belief. Fresh belief. What do you find at an empty tomb? Fresh belief. Let's go to the scripture. Verses 13 through 24. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they were not able to recognize who He was. Have you ever been so filled with grief, despair, shame, condemnation, hopelessness, that you can't see the answer the Lord's trying to give you? Jesus came up, walked right along beside them for how many miles? And they didn't see it. He asked, what's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along? They just stood there, long-faced, like they'd lost their best friend, which they did. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, can you just hear the irony dripping in this next sentence? You know, almost like, I just can't believe you, dude. Who are you? He says, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during these last few days? He said, what has happened? I kind of love it. The Lord, He'll just dialogue with us for a while. You know, when you're having a blue futz and a whole attitude, He'll say, okay, why don't you just get that out? Let's talk. What's happened? The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God. Notice past tense, He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed Him, got Him sentenced to death and crucified Him, and we had our hopes up. How many remember Jesus doesn't always do what we think He's going to do? Early this morning, they were at our tomb. No, let me back up. We had our hopes up that He was the one, verse 21, the one about to deliver Israel. And it's now the third day since it's happened. Look at this. Honest admission, just like guys. But now some of our women have completely confused us. All right, don't look at each other. Okay, I can see. That's right. I see nodding heads. Oh, yes. My wife completely confuses me sometimes. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find His book. Come on, can we talk about that for just a quick minute? Have you ever had a conversation with your spouse and out of the blue, a statement gets made? Well, I really think it should happen Tuesday at 3 o'clock. There was nothing else associated with that sentence in the previous half hour. You ever had that?
Yeah.
I have looked at my wife lovingly and said, I have no idea what you're saying. Can you give me a context? And she's sweet enough to provide it, but you know inside your heart, guys, she's going, what's wrong with you? You never listen to me. No. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the reality, isn't it? And the guys are just being real. They're saying, how about you and me? If you let this thing live, wouldn't it be confusing? Would you be confused? Only if you're a guy. Only if you're a guy, Daria said. I can see I've given you just enough to cause real problems. That's bad theology here. We better get on. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus. Sometimes the reality is we're so disappointed or distraught, discouraged, filled with shame or grief or disappointment that we can't see Jesus and we don't see the answer and we don't think he's right there, right then. You probably wouldn't see Jesus at those moments when you begged him to help you. Let's see, guys, the reality is the first day, we all know about the first day. Brutal torture and the worst kind of affliction that nobody had ever been pre-tortured to this degree. And they impaled him on a cross and it was a horrific, terrible thing. And we all know about that day. And the reality is, we all know about the resurrection day, pretty much. We've heard about Easter and the resurrection, and it's a glorious day, because say it with me, the resurrection changes everything. But what about the day in between? What about when you're hurting and you're confused and you don't understand what's happening in your life? Whether you've blown it or not, whether you caused it, you don't get it. And the God you cry out to seems completely silent. What about the middle day? And I'm here to tell you that if you're in the middle day, Jesus is still Lord for you. He still died for you. And if you look to him, his resurrection's still coming for you. And for me. He's God on the first, second, and the third day. And he knows right where you live this morning. Right where you live. We cry out and we don't hear. We beg God and don't see. But Jesus sees. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows what's in your heart. And resurrection's coming. And resurrection will change everything. And you're not here by accident this morning. The Lord knows you. And loves you. And died for you. And rose for you. And he's alive for you right now. And his resurrection is not a theory. You consult even history books. You'll find this resurrection in history if they haven't tried to write it out. He's more than a theory, and his resurrection is more than a story, because the resurrection changed and changes everything. Verses 25 through 27, then he said to them, so thick-headed, so slow-hearted. You ever felt like that? Why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen? The Messiah had to suffer and only then enter his glory? You ever notice that when sometimes he doesn't do what we want him to, what he does is far better for us in the long run? You ever notice that? If we'll hang on. The Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory. Some people have been horrifically abused. I'm not saying that's his plan. Some people have been treated shamefully and despicably. And my prayer for those folks is for the healing presence and the balm of Gilead from the presence of God himself to heal a hurting heart. But he sees you and he knows you and he wants to comfort you and love you right where you are. Then he started at the beginning, verse 27, with the books of Moses, and he went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him, and they got excited. The Bible tells us they got so excited walking down the road with him, it was like they were there at their home before they expected, and they begged him to come in and have dinner with them. So he goes in, he has dinner with them, and then what's it say? In the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened, and they see that it's Jesus. Sometimes it takes a while for us to see Jesus is here with us and for us. But if we'll hang in there, he'll open our eyes. And then they run. They run. Then now they're running. They're running to the other disciples. And they tell him Jesus was here. And he walked with us and he taught us from the scriptures. And oh, our hearts burned within. Because the resurrection changes everything. Verses 35 through 37. It really happened. The Master's been raised up. Simon saw him. Then the two went over everything that happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. When they were saying this, Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." They thought they were seeing a ghost. We're scared half to death. Verse 44. Then he said, "Everything I told you while I was with you comes to this. All the things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms have to be fulfilled." He went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. And he said, "You can see now how it's written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day." And then, say the next phrase with me, "a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations." Starting from here, from Jerusalem. You're the first to hear and see it. You're the witnesses. Your life can be totally changed by the forgiveness of sins. That's right. Amen. If you haven't given your life to Jesus today, the Savior extends his hands to you and he says, "Let me forgive you of your sins. Don't carry them yourself. Let me take care of it. I've died on the cross. I was buried. And I rose again." And Jesus looks at his disciples. He says, "Guys, women, men, I really want you to really get it. And I really want you to really believe it. And then I really want you to go and tell it." And a handful of discouraged men and women really got it, really believed it, and really went out and changed all of human history because the resurrection changes everything. How about you this morning? Where are you? Do you need to be reminded that he's risen? Do you need to be reminded that he did this for you? I'm here to remind you. It's good news. 24, 49 through 53. What comes next is very important. "I'm sending what my Father promised to you, so stay here in the city till he arrives," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "until you're equipped with power from on high." Verse 50. "He then led them out of the city over to Bethany. Raising his hands, he blessed them. And while blessing them, he took his leave, being carried up to heaven. And they were on their knees worshiping him. They returned to Jerusalem, bursting with joy." They spent all their time in the temple praising God. Church, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let Jesus cleanse you from sin. Let Him forgive you. Let His mercy be that which takes the heavy load of guilt from your shoulders. Not just initial salvation if you've not given your life to the Lord. Today is your day. This is Easter. This is time to celebrate resurrection. Every day is a celebration in the Lord. Doesn't mean we don't hurt, but it means He is still alive and still here for the hurting. If you've given your life to the Lord and you know there are some things the Lord is dealing with, He lives to help you, and His resurrection changes everything. Will you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? We're going to close with Celebrate Jesus, Celebrate. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is so good. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to the Lord, I urge you, come on forward and we'll pray together. If you need a touch on your body, we'll be here to pray for you as well, for the power of Jesus and His healing. He loves you so much, and we do too. We invite you back with us anytime. But most of all, we have every reason to rejoice. Because, why? His resurrection changes everything. Pray with me, will you? Lord Jesus, right now by faith, I see that You are the Lord and Savior. You died, You were buried, and You rose again. For me. I'm a sinner lost without You. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Take over my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I repent and turn away from sin. And turn to You. And now by faith, I receive Your forgiveness and Your resurrection life. In Jesus' name. Amen.